Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the Bible is boring. This is quite the first reading we have today, this battle that the Israelites found themselves in. And that image of battle is one that is very apt for our Christian life, that various spiritual writers in the church's tradition over the centuries have used that image of the battle for our life here on earth. The church militant is a term sometimes used for all of us, the baptized members of the church on earth, because our lives very much are a battle. We all fight within our own hearts those various desires at odds with one another, holy desires for what is good and true, but also in our fallenness, those desires for things that are not good, things that are evil, our desires for sin. And so we're called to engage in this battle courageously, relying on the help of God given to us by His grace. And that image of battle is apt also to describe not just the individual battle that we each fight in our own hearts, but also much of the reality in the world around us. Is it not true that we find ourselves today fighting a great battle for our very culture? We're constantly reminded of acts of violence here in our own community and around the world. Regular attacks on the most vulnerable of human lives, including tragically the most vulnerable life of all, the child in the womb. Confusion over the meaning of marriage and our human sexuality. And even scandal, corruption, confusion in the church. We're engaged in a great battle. We are called to take our place in that battle. And what is the solution to all of these difficulties that we find around us? Our quick answer is always to propose some new program, to elect some particular leader who we think is going to save us, to speak about particular laws that we need to put in place. All of that certainly is well and good, and we need to consider those things. But the scriptures propose something very different to us today. The scriptures propose something even more fundamental as our weapon in this battle, and that is prayer. The gospel today was a parable, as we were told, about prayer. And notice how St. Luke introduced this parable. He didn't say Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray for 1 hour on Sunday morning. No, he said Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always, without growing weary. Those are challenging words that invite us to think about our life of faith and not only what we do on Sunday morning, but how we spend Monday through Saturday as well. Do we heed these words to persevering prayer? And I would propose to you that the Word of God and also history teach us that that is most fundamental for us in our own personal battle and in the battle of the world around us. Prayer is our first recourse and most fundamental. Take the first reading, for example. You have Israel under attack from these foreign Amalekites. And what is it that determines the success of the Israelites in the battle? It's not the skill of their soldiers or the advancement of their weaponry. It's Moses on the hill, hands raised in prayer. And when he grows weary and lets his hands fall, the battle turns against the Israelites. But as long as he perseveres with his hands raised in prayer, they have the best of the fight. That's a story from thousands of years ago. Let me tell you one other from a few hundred years ago. Read from you a little article that appeared on the National Catholic Register's website a few years back, describing this moment in history. On October 7th, 1571, a patchwork fleet of Catholic ships, primarily from Spain, Venice, and Genoa, under the command of Don Juan of Austria, was at a distinct disadvantage. The much larger fleet of the Ottoman Empire, a force with 12,000 to 15,000 Christian slaves as rowers, was extending toward Europe. However, St. Pius V, realizing that the Muslim Turks had a decided material advantage, called upon all of Europe to pray the rosary for victory. Christians gathered in villages and towns to pray as the sea battle raged. And at the hour of victory, the Pope, who was hundreds of miles away at the Vatican, is said to have gotten up from a meeting, walked over to an open window, exclaiming, "The Christian fleet is victorious," and shed tears of joy and thanksgiving to God. The toll of the sea battle was great. The Holy League lost 50 of its galleys and suffered some 13,000 casualties. The Turks, however, lost much more. Their leader, Ali Pasha, was killed, along with 25,000 of his sailors. The Ottoman fleet lost 210 of its 250 ships. Coming at what was seen as a crisis point for Christianity, the victory at Lepanto stemmed Ottoman incursion into the Mediterranean and prevented their influence from spreading through Europe. Through the intervention of Our Lady, the hand of God prevented the Muslims of the East from overcoming the Christian West. The power of prayer to change the course of history. That battle at Lepanto in 1571 affected us. Imagine if Christian Europe had fallen. Would we even be here? Would our ancestors who came to this land have come? And if so, would they have brought with them the great gift of our Christian faith? It might seem somewhat naive to say that prayer is the solution, but that is what the Word of God proposes to us. That is what various moments in history bear out. And I would suggest to you that in particular, one way to heed the Lord's call to fill in our week rather than just Sunday with prayer is the daily rosary. A powerful prayer, with deep roots in our Catholic tradition. St. Pope Pius XI, who was Pope in the early 1900s, said the rosary is a powerful weapon to put the demons to flight and to keep oneself from sin. If you desire peace in your hearts, in your homes, and in your countries, assemble each evening to recite the rosary. Let not even one day pass without saying it, no matter how burdened you may be with many cares and labors. Later in the 20th century, St. Padre Pio said, "Some people are so foolish that they think they can go through life without the help of the Blessed Mother. Love the Madonna and pray the rosary, for her rosary is the weapon against the evils of the world today." Did you ever think of the rosary as a weapon? It is. What do we have to lose? Absolutely nothing, by giving ourselves to prayer. What do we have to gain? So much, perhaps. October is the month of the rosary. Could we all commit, at least for the rest of this month, each day, taking 20 minutes to sit at the feet of Our Lady, to contemplate the mysteries of our faith, and to invoke her powerful intercession with God for our country and for our church, for our world? May the Lord give us the grace to take up our role as soldiers in this army, in the battle in which we find ourselves. May we put our trust in Him and in His grace and in His call to pray always without ceasing, trusting that great fruits will come from our willingness to heed those words of our Savior. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.